Mr. Fumo, this is your opportunity, as you know, to address the court.
And thank you, Your Honor.
Really, it's up to you to say whatever you want to.
Thank you, Your Honor. Your Honor, first I want to say that I agree with Mr. Pease that God expects the most from those he's given the most to. I've tried to live my life that way. I've given my life to my job. And it was fun. It's fun to be able to help people. There's a playground near our office.
On Tasker?
Yes. 11th and Morton. One of the first things I did with Frankie Chico, we fixed up that playground. And every day for years, I would ride by and see it and feel good that because of me and what I did, that was different. I was always taught to bring, leave things better than the way you found them. Judge, I'm here. It's so surreal. I can remember 15, 20 years ago, actually sitting where you sat, chairing hearings in this room. And now I stand here as a convicted felon. I can't argue the verdict, nor do I want to. I feel terrible for all the people that have been hurt. And Your Honor, I agree with you. Not 11 million people in Pennsylvania. I'm sorry, I disagree with the prosecution. I did a lot of good for the 11 million people in Pennsylvania, whether they know it or not. But for the people around me that got hurt through this, I feel terrible for Ruth, who, despite the characterizations of this trial, was a wonderful woman who worked hard, went from a waitress to get a college degree, and did do the things that we did as citizens. I feel bad for Lenny and Mark. I feel particularly bad for Lenny because of what happened to him more post-trial than anything. I feel bad for the others. Howard Kane, upset with him for not filing taxes. But I know what he did for the Senate. He knows what he did for the Senate. Your Honor, I maybe did not view my job as a normal politician. I was entrepreneurial. I did play in all fields. I did try to get power, and I got power, Your Honor. But I got power so that I could use power in a good way. Prosecution makes light of the fact, oh, he made a phone call, he did this. Your Honor, you don't just get to make a phone call. You work very hard to gain respect of people in order to make that phone call. I gave up a lot, and it was selfish of me because I was so involved in what I did and I loved. My children are here, and they didn't have a dad that worked every soccer game. But I'm glad they've come to realize why. I made mistakes in my life. I've lived with this torment, Your Honor, for years now, day in and day out. What's going to happen next? Where are they going? What's going to happen? What's going to happen? I don't want to make an idle excuse. And maybe I should not have asked my staff to do me the favors that they did. Judge, I never intended to steal. The last thing on my mind was taking money from anybody. I've never done that. I did make some errors and judgments with tools and things as a citizen. For that, I am deeply, deeply sorry. But I always put things on scale. What balances where? I know what I did with citizens. I didn't do it politically. When I first learned, first couple of months, when they bought their first trash truck, that my name was on the side, I made them take it off. I didn't want that. I wanted the concept of citizens. You heard at trial how we started it. And we did do a lot of good for a lot of people. Help keep people employed. I probably could never be a judge because I'm too soft. I know everybody says that I'm a ruthless politician, and I am a very tough adversary, Your Honor. I think, as Gary or Chris said in one of the letters, things don't just happen in Harrisburg. I used to joke that we didn't walk around there in togas and sandals. It was hardball. And from where I was, for 30 years, I was in the minority 27. Your Honor, I think knows a little bit about legislative politics. You don't get much to do if you're in the minority, unless you're creative. And although they put together some chart that said I made charges and counts 4 months of the year in other places, Judge, I worked. And I worked because I was addicted to work. I loved my work. I loved being able to get things done. The motto in our office always was WGSD. We get things done. And we did, and we were proud of that. And everybody at work there was proud of it. I learned from my second wife that part of the responsibility as the leader is to teach. And I tried to teach. I tried to create an environment where people could do their best. I never worried about a timesheet. I never worried about a roll call. I just wanted people to do their best. And I swear to God, Judge, they did. They were the best. And I think I learned at Wharton that one of the ways to do that is to empower people and let them do their job, not to micromanage. I never did. And I guess I was always a born optimist. I would always say, we'll just do it. And we did many, many times. Such an embarrassment to stand here under these circumstances. All I can say, Your Honor, is I've done my best. I've given it myself. The things I did wrong, I never at the time thought they were, except for that stuff at Citizens. I apologize for that lapse in judgment. In retrospect, would I have done it different? Maybe. Could I have done it different? Probably not. I couldn't have gotten the results I got by being a bureaucrat. I couldn't have gotten the results I got by sitting there meekly. I made powerful enemies. made powerful friends. And throughout this, as was said, I learned before 30 years ago what it's like when you think you have friends and then something like this happens and you found out you had acquaintances and users. In this case, Judge, it's been the same to some degree. And one of the things that has sustained me is not just the Xanax and the other stuff, but I've said this. Since my conviction, I've tried to stay out of the public. I've tried to not even go out. I went out to dinner one night and made the papers. Everything I do has been magnified. But on those times when I go out, I swear, Judge, there's not been a day that a perfect stranger hasn't stopped me on the street to wish me well. I came home in the taxi after having met with Mr. Buffone from 30th Street to my house. There was a little Indian cab driver. Said, "You look like Vince Pumo." I said, "I did. I was him." Went on to say how much he loved me and what I had done. Then he cried. If anything, what I missed the most is not being there to help people. It's fun, Judge. It is fun. I confess. I had fun at my job. It's the biggest piece of gratification to find someone come to you with to them an insurmountable problem and you solve it or to help them. My charity, Your Honor, that's tax-deductible charity. Things I've done privately, quietly. I was upset the other day when one of the prosecutors belittled the fact of what I did at Christmas time. I learned that from my second wife, too. When we were first married, she said that the only gift she wanted was to help a poor family. And we did that. And we did it every year since. All during the years, I would tell the staff, find people that need help. And I did it out of my own pocket with cash, and I never wanted, the last I ever wanted to do was tell anybody about it. Jamie Spagna found out about it when she left, when she worked for us, because she was one of those families. Didn't do it for tax deduction or publicity. And yes, I fought for things based on what I believed in. People disagreed. I fought for minorities. I fought for gay people because somebody had to. I was just brought up that everybody was alike, was to be treated with respect. And yes, I was given a lot. A lot was expected. And that was my job to do. I happen to have fun at it, though. I will not let my son ever go into politics with my daughter, because I've seen the price that has to be paid. But in the end, I worry. Who will? Somebody has to. My family's given enough. I've given enough. And what father wouldn't want his son or daughter to follow in his footsteps? I don't. This has been, I'm not a big reader, so I don't know much about Shakespeare, but I know a Shakespearean tragedy, and this is it. I swear to God, Judge, I'm still an officer of this court, I guess, until you pronounce sentence. I'm not lying to you. I don't lie to people. It's one way I got to where I got. By not lying. As Bob O'Donnell said in others and Gibbs, Armstrong, and people. In this business, that's a tough thing to find. I've kept my word when it hurt me to keep my word, because that's a true test of keeping your word. I swear to your God, Your Honor, I never intend to steal anything from anybody. And I never, ever, in my wildest dreams, thought things at the Senate. I didn't take per diem money. Left 60-some thousand dollars on the table tax-free. If I was out to be arrogant and miserly and greedy, I would have taken my per diem money. I didn't want the aggravation from the media. And ironically, once they did a story on per diem monies in Philadelphia, the Inquirer couldn't find my expenses. They went to the chief clerk and they double-checked and triple-checked and found out that I didn't take them. All I got was no mention in the story. Judge, I apologize that I put you through this, not just a trial. I've had to make tough decisions in my life. And I respect you, and I know this is tough for you. I can only ask for mercy and compassion. I tried to do the best job I did. I think I did a good job, and I did give back because God wanted me to. Thank you, Judge.